Welcome to the Oil Country Podcast with your hosts, John, Kyle, and Dobko.
Hello, 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 Oilers fans. Welcome back to another episode of the Oil Country Podcast. We typically start our episodes kind of, you know, go around the table and see how everybody's doing. But that was off-season mode. We have hockey to talk about, and we are going to jump right into Oilers hockey talk. So we're through three games in. Oilers are 1-2. Big game tonight, playing the Habs for their fourth game, looking for a bounce back. I'm going to bounce over to you first, Kyle. What was your main takeaways watching the first three games?
Oh, man, you know, like the first game against Vancouver, just seeing the lapses defensively all over the ice just brought me straight back to the play-in round last year. Yes. And honestly, what we knew was going to be our low point of our roster going into this season, really. Then you go into the Vancouver game. They rebound again like they did last year. When they have low points, they come back and light a fire under their ass. And, you know, like they blew that game out. And then they show back up against Montreal. And once again, no show up in the first period, as usual. Defensive lapses, as usual. Bottom six not performing, as usual. You know, like it's a lot of seeing, a lot of carrying on McDavid and Draisaitl continuously. Luckily, our boy Yamamoto is still performing. Nuge still performing. Cassian looks good. But, you know, like there's a lot to be worried about on this team and a lot that still needs to be proven. I mean, I said before the season started, like I was worried about this team in aspects. Like they have a lot to prove still. Like they have depth at the roster, sure. But, you know, it is still a lot of players that are unproven, quote unquote. That's why we got them so cheap. So they still have to do that.
Yeah. And it's, I hate to say it as an Oilers fan, but you just kind of hear that ringing in the back of your head, like same old Oilers and the same problems plaguing them. Now, before I bounce over to Dobko here, I think it is like, I think we're all on the same page where we're only three games in. Yes. It's a shortened season, but they've got time, you know, literally. If they had one of those two bad games, if they had one more good game, we'd be 2-1 right now saying like, wow, they look great for two games. And, you know, we'll just ignore that one bad game. That was just a one-off. But like with such a shortened year, it's hard. Like we're after tonight's game, we're 7% through the season. So it's a little bit worrisome when they come out this flat, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you just see how good they were last year. I have faith, obviously, that they are going to get to that point. It just, again, reminds me of the play-in. I think it's just not enough preparedness, not enough time on the ice before the first actual game happened. And you're not seeing a lot of gelling that's actually been there.
Yeah.
So I believe in give it time. We will be a good team this year. But yeah, right now, like, there's obviously worries.
Dog pro. Right.
Well, Dobko. I mean, probably fucking trade everybody, right? No, I mean, realistically, my first impressions after the three games, like, you kind of hit the nail on the head, and I really need to stress to everyone to not overreact with three games in.
The Oilers fan base I think overreacting? What is that? The Oilers fan base not overreacting? You're asking water to not be wet.
Yeah, I know. I'm basically asking a flat earther to think, but you know, it's three games in and we didn't get any preseason and they got 1 week of a training camp. My entire life, growing up playing hockey, I played hockey for like, I don't know, 10 years when I was a kid. And there was not a single time where you got less than like 3 weeks of skating in before you were on the ice for a real game. So this is like the chemistry woes and the defensive lapses and all that. That's going to come. The guys, like, what's scaring me more is that guys that, you know, like, shouldn't have this big a gap. Like, I think Adam Larsson needs to wake up a little bit. That first game was the worst game I think I've ever seen him play as an Oiler. And it's, I'm not saying that we need to give up on Adam Larsson right now, but that is just terrifying to me when I'm expecting him to be a huge minute eater and that guy can't even make a dumbass simple read on a like a 2-on-1 when the puck carrier has a guy on his hip. Like Larson just completely tried to make a big hit, which he whiffed on and didn't even like, I don't know what it is. I look at him and it looks like he can't move his back at all. It looks like he literally has a 2x4 instead of a spine. Like he can't move. So that scares me. But I mean, realistically, it's what we said going in. Like, what additions did they make that are going to be this big overhaul defensively? Well, they lost their best defenseman in Oscar Klefbom. So that's a big win. I mean, Darnell Nurse has had some like big polarization of both good and bad. And I think he's been our best defenseman. I don't think it's been very close. And like, thank God that he's decided to show up and maybe hopefully he can keep that going. McDavid's a beast. Drysdale's good. Yams is nice. I think Jesse Puljujärvi has played fantastic so far. He's had a couple fuck ups here and there and he's lost the puck here and there, but man, he's hounding dudes and he's using his body to hold on to the puck and create space for himself. Like, I don't know. There's some stuff that we can worry about, but really it just comes down to our defense has been shit for three games still.
Puljujärvi definitely like, shows huge signs of promise. Like you see the way he attacks the puck in the corner and he's this monster body. Like he still looks gangly out there and looks kind of awkward when he's skating around, but like, you definitely see that there's tons of potential with him. I do think too, like Slater Cuckoo and Tyson Barrie both have looked like fine as it is. I don't think they played that bad. Cuckoo's getting a shot on the first line tonight, which I think is, you know, a little soon, but I mean, if he's playing good, he's playing good. But
I think with that real quick is you got to look at who he's playing with. He's playing with Nurse and it's going to like Nurse is going to do well with a big shutdown guy like that. And Bear has not been that with Nurse. So I like the fact that like him and Nurse together, I think like that could be a solid top pair.
Yeah. I mean, it has potential. I mean, he's looked good so far. Like he's definitely been in the lane. He's definitely been throwing his body around as much as possible. And
I like Cuckoo and I agree with you guys that he's looked good. I'm just like, man, I do not have near as much confidence in that top pair as you guys do. Like I don't.
I think he's much better off on the second pair where he should be, but.
Or third, man. Like I think Cuckoo is a solid depth. It's not something like that's Chris a long-term Russell. Solution.
Like, he's just going to shut guys down. He's not going to just like be a ton of an offensive juggernaut. And what has been our big nightmare problem for fucking ever is we can't shut anybody down ever. I don't care. This is my thing with Ethan Bear right now is like, he's great offensively, but he needs to be better in his own end. Like if Ethan Bear can't stop people in his own end, then he can't play in the NHL. And you showed up late to camp because you had a contract holdout. So like, I'm kind of not exactly have a ton of rope for Ethan Bear and neither does Tippett. Like after the first game, he called him out. And after the third one, he's sitting him. So
I think the thing with Bear though is like, I don't know. I don't think that's fair. Like, I don't think you can go look at Nurse and be like, oh, he's been our most steady defenseman. Like, that's true. But Nurse has played far from a flawless game in these first three games. He's made just as bad of defensive errors as Bear has. And I think when you look at Bear, he's easily been our best puck-moving defenseman, Dobko. Like, you look at the way he outchances, easily as far as all the analytics, he's been our best defenseman. It's a small sample size, so that's like, take it with what you will. Like, it's not, that's not a definitive thing. I think just, let me finish here a second, sorry. Oh, man. I'm getting like, my phones are blowing up in my hotel, and I apologize, guys.
Oh, you're so popular.
Man, I'm just pretty sure it's the hotel staff waiting to ask me a question.
Of course.
It's the thing with Bear, the thing with Bear is I think he's been given a little bit more that he can fully handle at this point, but with such a solid, steady year last year and Klefbom going down, Larson underperforming, he's been that guy that's been asked to carry the brunt of that workload. And although he hasn't been great, I think it's kind of, he's been put in a tough situation for more or less a sophomore player. And my last point there is, I don't disagree with him coming out of the lineup. I think this is Tippett saying, hey, you've been okay, but our defense has been bad and you haven't been good enough. Like the bar is higher for you. I think that's all it is. I don't think that it's Bears played bad. He just hasn't taken that next step where the Oilers organization and the Oilers coaching is looking at this like, look, man, we need you. Like, you need to take another step. You need to take another step in your game because we need that type of defenseman right now very badly.
Which is unfair to him that he's put in that position too. But
yeah. he See, that's bullshit. He wants to be put in the position. He made the argument. Oh, for
sure.
The
entire well, he wants to be put in that position, sure, but he needs more time.
So, no. Okay, he needs more time. I don't disagree. But his entire argument about his contract was he deserves this because he can take on that role. You've put him in that role, and he's struggled in it so far. And you, John, you say, like, Nurse has made some mistakes. Nurse has not made near as many mistakes as Bear. Bear has been way worse than Nurse. I'm not saying Bear is over and we're fucked with him, but all I'm saying is, like, Ethan Bear this year is not Ethan Bear of last year. And I'm taking the kid gloves off. He needs to be a regular NHL defenseman. He's not playing like he is right now. I think he's still a young guy, and you're right that Tippett needs to sit him in the press box and have him get, like, that bird's eye view of the ice bit. Have these guys reset a little. That's okay. Same with Caleb Jones. Like,
for sure.
We need to get him to reset and, like, bring him back a bit. They're still young guys, but, like, hey, this season's a sprint. There's 53 games left. Everything's ratcheted up to 11. Either float or drown. And if you're going to drown, do it in the press box.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. And especially with the amount of depth that they've brought in, with Cuckoo is excelling. Barry's had his moments defensively that are bad, but we knew that's who he was and what he brings to the team. And then you look and you've got Lagesson's in the lineup. Chris Russell's playing his first game 4 games in. Like, there's other guys there chomping at the bit. And I'm just like, I just kind of want to preface in my opinion, like, I really don't think, if this was Bear's rookie year and he was playing the way he is on the third line right now, like he came into last year, everyone would be raving. Like, I don't think it's something that he's taken a step back necessarily. He's just, you're right. Like, he's had a slowish start coming into camp late that hurt him. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I don't disagree with pulling Bear to the lineup, especially with that many guys waiting. And I mean, we still have Evan Bouchard as well, who hasn't even cracked the lineup. And I mean, I don't think Evan Bouchard, unfortunately, is the solution, because he's almost, yeah, he's going to move the puck. But hey, like I was talking to a guy on Twitter today about that. If you can't control the puck in your defensive zone and take the puck away from the opposition, it doesn't really help your puck moving ability. Like, you could be the best puck moving defenseman on earth, but if you can't actually control the puck in your own zone and be able to make an outlet pass, it doesn't fucking matter at all.
To move the puck, you have to get it first.
Exactly.
And that's like, yeah. So, no, I'm with you. Like, it's again, I feel like I'm a broken record. Like, we said it from the start, our defense is an issue. Right now, what's really exciting to me is in these next, like, few games, probably this next, like, window of, like, 5 games, you're going to get to really see what we have in these depth guys. Because the beauty of what Ken Holland has done is he's made this whole roster competitive. Of, like, guys on any given night can take another guy's spot, and you're not going to gain or lose a ton with some of these dudes. Obviously, the big names you will, but, like, the dudes who are coming out and going in for them, like, is Lagesson a big downgrade of Caleb Jones? No, he might be an upgrade. We don't even know. So, like, I mean, this is the beauty of our lineup, finally, is that we don't have to sit here and force feed Ethan Bear minutes if he's not ready and needs a night off to, like, refocus and come back. We can take a night off, send him in the press box, have an NHL defenseman ready in the wings. Like, that's something that is very, very promising for us. And as the season does progress and injuries do happen, that's going to be something that I hope the Oilers can have a strength in. But we're going to need that boom pick home run, Tyler Ennis to wake up a little bit. But I mean, other than that, we'll be all right.
I don't even know if Kyle caught that one. You zoned out, Kyle.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, you know, after the Montreal game that we played tonight, obviously we're not going to know how that ends up until it comes out tomorrow. But we play Toronto for the 2 games for the rest of the week, and they're kind of having similar woes as we are, right? So hopefully Bear will get a shot back in the lineup with that, and it's two teams that are trying to figure each other out that hopefully we can see something break through. But I don't know. What do you guys think about Toronto's season so far? Have you watched any of their games?
Part of me wants the Toronto game to be like a 7-6 just barn burner of Connor McDavid going off, which, like, realistically it might be because of both our defenses. But I mean, Toronto's been Toronto. Lack their defense, big offense, and they played Ottawa twice. Ottawa always gets up to play them, so I don't know. I think that's kind of a skewed. Literally everyone's picking Ottawa to finish last, so to base their picks off that is a little bit meh. The thing that is interesting to me, and that, like, I definitely didn't think Montreal would be this good. That first line is nasty.
They were a better team than I was expecting to. Like, I think the Oilers really laid an egg in game 1 against them, but they were a very ready and hardworking team.
You see where they excelled. It was those stats I said last episode too about them being like first in offensive zone possession time, second in shots from the offensive zone, like et cetera. Like you've seen it in that game how well they control the puck and how hardworking they are there. And with Edmondson, they seem to have started to figure out some of their defensive woes. You could see that they were moving the puck a lot better there too. And I mean, hopefully Carey Price has a shaky game tonight because he was also looking stellar. His first
Jake Allen is in tonight.
Is it Allen?
Yeah. Nice. Jake Allen's getting his first start in Montreal tonight. So
that's historically that's he's thing. Been the better goalie against us, but Carey looked he looked dangerous that night. He was lights out.
He was and I watched the other two Montreal games as well. And man, he's looked sharp. Like
I can't for the life of me remember. Like Montreal, were they in the play-in round? Did they get booted?
They were the last team to get in.
And did they didn't go far?
No, they won their play-in round against Pittsburgh.
They got in the first round.
Did they? Oh, yeah. Did they go deep in the playoffs is what I was asking.
No,
they were it was them in Vancouver that went deepest for Canadian teams, but they were still out in make it to the second round?
I don't think they did. Now that I'm like thinking about it, I don't think they did. So like the point I was trying to make here was like we were talking before the season came about Connor McDavid having this time to heal. You gave Carey Price his time to heal, a guy who's had countless injury issues. Like, man, if he's healthy and if he's good all year, dude, he alone can win a team anything. He's that good. What is his records from the freaking World Juniors? I just remember they were talking about he had like a 948 in that tournament or something stupid. Like,
yeah. I gotta say too, man. We did it on this podcast and the whole hockey world did it together. Everybody ripping on that Josh Anderson contract. He looks like a player, man. He looks like a really good power forward with wheels. And I'm like, ooh, man, everybody ripped on Montreal for that trade.
I picked him up on my fantasy team.
And yeah, I'm honestly wondering if Montreal's going to win that trade. Like if Max Domi doesn't redeem himself back to that, obviously we're such early days. So I'm not going to start saying this is going to happen, but way more likely in my mind than it was 3 months ago when that trade happened. I want to get back to one thing. I was so interested in your guys' takeaways and we kind of started ranting like we always do. My big takeaway, you guys had kind of hit on it, but Puljujarvi looks way more confident. Like you mentioned, Kyle, that he looks still a little bit Bambi-ish, a little lanky on skates, but it's like he went from being Bambi to like he's like a teenage deer now. He's starting to like get a little bit more comfortable.
He has
with
a stride,
body, you know.
Yeah,
he's still
he has
a
stride.
Lanky.
It just looks weird. Yeah,
and he plays such a north-south game, and he's using his body so much more. And even like that third line is still trying to click for sure. They had one really bad game, the opening game against Vancouver, where they were just bleeding chances, didn't create much. But Puljujarvi's really starting to show in moments that creative passing. And I think that was one thing when you look back to the World Juniors when he was playing with Aho and Laine. And I know that's kind of we're removed from who that player was at that point. But I think a lot of Oilers fans really expected him to be that like unreal sniper, which was more what Laine was. Puljujarvi was that playmaking power forward. So I'm really like, I think the key is just to find what line mates click with Puljujarvi and likely Turris on that third line. But I think it's a little premature, but that first line spot, like if Cassian doesn't really lock that down and continue to play the way he did in one of the two games he's played in, I think Puljujarvi's gunning for that eventually, but we need some depth and we need some actual playmakers on our third line as well. So I don't mind Puljujarvi being there.
And you know, I've probably got the biggest Puljujarvi boner of all of us, so I'm happy to talk about how great he's looked. This is the thing with Puljujarvi is like, if he just stays pat and doesn't grow at all as a hockey player, he's got an NHL career of a third to fourth liner for the next 10 to 12 years. Cause he's 6'4", he can move, and he has some creative instincts with his passing. And that, like, again, this is if he just stays flat. The beauty is he's like 23. So I love the fact that like there's some plays that have stood out that are just like fantastic for what we want from Puljujarvi. Like in the first game, there was one where he busted his ass to chase down a guy behind the net. Guy starts coming up the ice. Puljujarvi hounds him, strips the puck.
That was Quinn Hughes too. Quinn Hughes.
Quinn Hughes is a pretty good defenseman. So he strips Quinn Hughes. The puck kind of comes off his stick. whatever. He's still trying to get his hands back. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. And there, that little pass behind the net, that was a little backhand pass. Something like that was just like, to have the confidence, he's got a bit of swag now. He's feeling it a bit. I just like, I hope that if the team struggles a bit, that he can have the like mental fortitude to kind of keep his game up. And you're right. He's not an idiot. Like, he knows that that first line right winger spot, when he was drafted, he was penciled in there for the future. He absolutely was. So he knows that that spot at one point was his for the taking. And I think it still is. And like, Cassian's helping him take it. So hopefully he gets there, but you're right. Like, I don't want him to be in there anytime soon, man. If Tippett throws him in there too soon, like I'm worried, but so far they've handled him really well. And I expect them to keep doing that.
I think the best thing for this team in the short term is to have Cassian actually excel in that role. And if that doesn't happen, then you have a decision to make. And I'd rather have Puljujärvi get shots up there over Archibald, for instance. But even like Archibald, you looked up there, filled in for Cassian. And although that was a really tough game for Edmonton, they still outchanced their opposition with Montreal. So, I mean, I think it's key that you bring Puljujärvi around a little bit slowly. And I think there's a lot of Oilers fans that would 100% disagree with us there. But that's my take anyways. I think he looks good on the third line. Really let him excel there and get comfortable there before you look at popping him up. And I don't think you're taking Yamamoto off that second line. They've looked dangerous.
You can't. Draisaitl and Yams together, I think at this point, are pretty much in concrete. I just wish Nuge and Connor could get some like real chemistry. Just something's missing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things that I think everybody talks about Nuge slotting back to the second line, but our second line statistically has been great through three games. So I think Cahoon is a fit there, and I think they've passed the eye test. They've had some issues there, but with Yamamoto and Draisaitl, that's such a good duo. You need Connor to have a competent 200-foot player in Nuge. They just, like you said, they need to get it going as well, though. And I think, sorry, my last kind of takeaway there, too, that's one of the big issues with our top six. Like, you watch these games. Yamamoto is the only player that doesn't just automatically defer to McDavid or Draisaitl. He's playing his game. He's grinding hard. He's skating. He's fighting for pucks. And then when it's appropriate to give it to Draisaitl, he finds him. But you look at the first line, man, and especially in that first game, and even the second at 5-on-5, whenever Cassian or whenever Nuge got the puck, it was immediately like, oh, where's Connor? Where's Connor? Got to give him the puck. Drop pass when there's three guys keying in on McDavid, putting him in a terrible situation. So, I mean, I want a guy like Nuge. I think he's played well defensively. He's probably one of the few forwards that you can actually say that about. But man, you're a first overall pick. Like, you're not a superstar offensive player, but you're a very capable top six player on the offensive side. Like, try and create a little bit more for yourself. McDavid will find you. He will get to the spaces for you to find him. And I think they're starting to get there, but really hoping you see that more in the short term.
I think it's just a lot of Nuge too, adjusting and not having Draisaitl on his line as well. Like, you know, has a big body who likes to drive the net, whereas McDavid's flashy, right, and breaks through with his speed. I think, like, you're right. It's just a bit of adjustment time. And they have played well together before. Like, they totally will again, for sure.
And they've definitely shown glimpses of periods of time, even in these three games, where they're like, oh, wow, they're really clicking this shift or whatever like that. It's not quite consistent enough. Let's bounce into our next segment, though. And I'm just going to ask you guys flat out here, what is your panic level out of 10 and why? We'll kick it over to you, Kyle, first.
I mean, we pretty much almost said it ourselves, right? At like a 3-4. Like, there's definite, you know, things that need to be changed with this team, but I do think we have the players to do it. We've created all that, competition, as we've said how many times, right? It's just a bunch of players that need to prove themselves. So yes, I am worried because it's a shortened season. So there's a bit of more of an immediate, you know, impact that needs to be shown, but I do think that they will turn around.
Dobko?
I'd give my worry level a 1.2 out of 10. I thought long and hard about this. You know, I wanted a very, very real answer for you guys. And it's like I said, we're three games in. Connor McDavid in those three games has looked better than the best player in the world. I don't know how he did it. If people listening haven't heard Chris Versteeg's rant on Connor McDavid the other day, it is so funny, and you really need to.
It's on Dustin Nielsen's Twitter.
Yeah, go on Dustin Nielsen's Twitter. That's where I saw it. Nielsen and TSN 1260 or something. And he goes off on this rant about Connor, and he just like how much better he is than everyone. And he also says a very good point that our jerseys are absolute trash and they could do 1,000 times better. But
I wish those alternates looked better on ice, because I think they look good in person, but they don't look
good. Argument with that is that McDavid hasn't been a bad player the last like three seasons he's here. Draisaitl hasn't been a bad player. There's a lot more to the team than.
Oh, for sure, man. Like, true. Connor in game two, man. Connor just like put on an absolute show, dude. That was one of the best performances I've seen. Like,
he's disappeared a lot at times too, but I mean,
for sure.
The team itself needs to get better. Him.
He can't drag him every game, and teams key on him so much. But typically, when he has like one kind of off game where he's not absolutely electric, he just pops off. Oh, I expect him to
absolutely tear it up tonight.
Oh, I think my panic level's at a three. I think it's just one of those things where it's hard to look at this roster, and I know we're only three games in, but there's so many question marks, and I just don't think we're going to get the answers we need in all of those departments.
My biggest concern right now is like our goaltending went from a question mark to like a, oh my sweet fuck. Like, at least with Mike Smith, we kind of knew what we had. And you knew between him and Koskinen, they were, based off last year, they were good enough. But, oh, God, man, if Koskinen starts to struggle and we have to bring in, who the hell is our backup right now? Like, it's Stuart Skinner, Grosnick. I think.
Grosnick.
Is it Grosnick now?
He's in COVID protocol, too. So, right now, Skinner.
I'm assuming he'd be up, though. Yeah.
So, and Aaron Dell was claimed by New Jersey today, and Forsberg's bounced around, and who else? Eric Comrie was also on waivers. So, like, this freaking carousel of the third goalie is just, we're going to end up having everyone's goalie at some point. But, man, just, I am the biggest, like, Mikko Koskinen question guy, and the losses have not been on him. I think he's been good. He's had a couple weak ones, but, I mean, every goalie will. But man, God, that scares the shit out of me now.
I'm glad you pivoted there, Dobko, because I thought you were about to go down where it's just like Mikko Koskinen is just not good enough. Because I think the backup goalie is like that. That's a huge question mark right now. Like,
well, especially this year too.
What's that?
Like, how important is a backup goaltender this year as well? Right? How many back to backs are being played, and how short the season is? Like, you need a 1B pretty much to be able to strongly compete if you don't have a goalie that's young and can go to this.
We are extremely lucky in the sense that we don't have two games in two nights until like Thursday next week, where it's always, but it's still like it's game night off, game night off, game night off, right up until then. But we're super lucky that that's not it. Because I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe Skinner comes in and he's a way better goalie in the NHL than he is in the AHL, but I'm not holding my breath there. That's typically not how that goes. But hey, goalies are voodoo. Maybe he's the next goddamn Tim Thomas. I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad you went that route, Dobko, because I was a little bit worried you were just going to start shitting on Mikko. And I have every goal that he has given up this season in a list of like what the situation was. And it is an ugly list as far as the defense goes. I'm not going to put everyone through that, but I was ready to go in case someone shit on Mikko too hard.
Some of the situations haven't been ideal. The very first goal of the year when Adam Larsson let a dude shoot from the high slot by himself with no one at all close to him, not even in the same zone. I'm really mad at this play. Yeah, that's a goal 99% of the time. The fact of the matter is that goal literally went through his arm and his chest. That's got to be a save where he shoots it. Yeah, I mean, it's also a breakaway. Scores. But like the fact, like, I don't like that. That's the way it went in. That like that's right through him.
I mean, fair. It's an uncontested breakaway. Like, I agree. Like, I understand it adds, but it's just like. Like, the situation and the context matters, but it's an uncontested breakaway. Like, true, you can't give up that several times in a game. And I know we're all on the same page. And hey, Mikko hasn't been great. I agree. Like, he hasn't stolen us a game in the first three. He hasn't been lights out. And right now, that's what this team needs, unfortunately.
Yeah, he's definitely not Carey Price, but I mean, you could throw a lot of goaltenders on our team right now. And with what's been happening defensively, I think you'd struggle to find someone that's going to excel there. And that's what's extra worrying about the backup situation too, right? Like when they come in, is that pretty much a sign-off loss or what's happening? Because I don't think Koskinen's a bad goaltender at all. Like, you know, he's a starter in the NHL, but he needs some defense.
He's not a top five elite goalie that is going to steal you games regularly.
He's closer to the bottom five than the top five.
I disagree. I think he's top.
I think he's middle of the pack.
He's in that middle group. I'm just saying he's closer to the bottom than the top.
Okay, semantics. I'm calling semantics for ending this discussion. Okay, the last thing I wanted to talk about, well, a couple more off-topic things. The last thing I wanted to talk about these three games, unless someone else brings anything up. Man, our fourth line is just bleeding chances with Jujhar Khaira. And I hate to like kick a guy while he's down because I know the Oilers fan base has just like eviscerated this guy on social media. But in the first game, the Khaira-led fourth line, 6 minutes, they're outchanced 7-1 and high danger chances 3-0. Game two, Khaira, fourth line with Chiasson and Shore, they played 3 minutes and 40 seconds at 5-on-5. They were outchanced 9-1 with a high danger of 1-0 in less than 4 minutes, man. That is god awful. You could start every shift in the defensive zone against the top line, and you would hope that the opportunities wouldn't be that bad. Now, it's only one game, super short.
Was that the 2 minute long straight like offensive attack in our zone? Was that
pretty much? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I mean, hey, it's a bad shift. They got hemmed in, they get tired, but it's like, man, those are atrocious numbers. Game three against the Habs, really bad game as a team. Shore comes in, Khaira is out. Shore plays with, I'm just scrambling with my notes here. Shore plays with Nygaard and Chiasson for about just under 4 minutes. They're outchanced 3-2. Then they switch Archibald with Chiasson. So Nygaard, Shore, Archibald. Outchances Montreal 5-0. Now, again, those are chances. We're not adding context to that. It's not like they were grade A chances. They had no high danger. But our fourth line can't just get outscored and outchanced in games regularly and have this team have success. It's just not going to happen. And I know it's kind of singling out a player, and there's three guys on that line. I'm a little bit worried about Chiasson as well, but man, for as good as Khaira is on the penalty kill, that guy looks lost at 5-on-5.
Which has been my gripe with Jujhar Khaira for years now, is sweet, he can be on the penalty kill. So can like fucking hundreds of other guys who are in the NHL. So many guys in the NHL could play on the penalty kill. That is not a reason to keep this guy in our lineup when he's a liability in literally every other aspect. He doesn't do anything. I don't get the love fest of Jujhar Khaira, why we're still trying this. This has been like 2 years too long to me. Boy, yeah. Do we miss James Neal on that fourth line, I guess. Because him and Chiasson looked great there. And we're lugging that dipshit around for three periods in the playing round. So like, man, I'm just over Jujhar Khaira really badly.
He had one decent year 2 years ago, got the contract. And since then, it's been like every once in a while, halfway through the season, you'll get like four games where Jujhar looks really good. And you're like, oh my God, like he's finally figured it out. Like and then he just disappears again.
And I just, why can't you just bring it together? He can't play the wing. He can't play center. He can't play him 5-on-5 or on the power play.
I got it 2 years ago. I mean, like he looked like he could be a potential third line player, but I don't understand why we've kept him around for so long. Like I just don't see it with him at all, ever. Like it's
no one else.
Yeah, I mean, like I think you haven't, like Shahan comes in as competition, wins the third line center role, and now Haas is out and Khaira has that contract that you can't quite bury. So Holland is trying to use smart cap management and give him those opportunities as you're like fifth center. Nuge goes up and now you're into the fourth slot. But like, I agree. I mean, I think this is someone that unless he's going to be in and out of the lineup this year with injuries or fatigue or whatever, but unless he really figures it out this year, you've got to imagine this is a guy you got to move on and you have to upgrade from. Like, paying $1 million, you should be able to find a decent 200-foot fourth line center that can do the things a fourth line center needs to do. And Kara's got the body and he's got all the tools, but it makes you wonder why he wasn't able to figure it out. But I don't know. I honestly feel bad for him because he seems like he's just fighting it all the time and in interviews and stuff. And he seems like a really nice guy that was just close to clicking and just hasn't been able to do it. But he'll be someone else's reclamation project, I'm guessing, next year. I have two more points. Go ahead.
The thing with him really quick with Jujhar Kara is he's almost similar of like Jesse Puljujärvi, where he's got all the physical tools you could want in a center. He's 6'4". He can hit people. He's got a shot. Like, he can do what he needs to. But for whatever reason, some guys just get to the show and they can't process the game mentally fast enough, or they just get like their confidence just is never going to be good enough to do that because they're just who they are from a very basic mental psychology standpoint. It's just not going to happen. And I'm with you, man. Like, I would love it if Jujhar Kara just grabbed that spot by the nuts and took it, but I just don't think he's going to. And I think I feel like you're hitting your head against a wall trying to get him to do it at this point. Just,
yeah. And it is one of those things. I genuinely hope he figures it out with another team if he does move on. Like I said, he seems like a really likable guy. Just hasn't been able to do it. Trying out a new segment here, boys. Tweet of the week. So Alice Moran, she is a actress, Canadian actress, and she's a Oilers fan as well. She tweeted, and I don't know, I find this funny. We'll see if this segment takes off or not. Joke's on you, Oilers. I was already sad. I fuck with that type of humor. I'm just saying, I honestly lost it when I saw that on Twitter.
Well played, Alice. Well played.
My last, our last segment, I'm going to get a little bit of a rant, and I don't have that audio file queued up to get me into the rant, but I don't know if anyone else caught this, didn't really blow up on Twitter or anything. During the first intermission of one of the games, Sportsnet did this segment called Who's Hungry, where they showed clips of Joey Moss. They were kind of transitioning out of that and out of that for the pregame, the Joey Moss tribute. And then they're showing these clips of Joey Moss. Skip the Dish logo pops up, and DeBrus said, fitting this is Skip the Dishes because this man loved food as much as I did. What the fuck is that, man? Are we really like going off of trying to like get the hearts and minds of people's care and love for Joey Moss, and now we're sponsoring those segments? Like, I have no problem with the additional sponsorships that the NHL has added, but I just felt like it was a super classless move. You're sponsoring something, and like, what kind of transition is that? Fitting this is Skip the Dishes because this man loved food. Yeah, great. Joey did a basic, like, he loved food. Everybody loves food. That's such a trash transition. And I just thought it was classless altogether. I don't know. Am I overreacting here, boys?
Nope.
Nope. I'd say it's pretty disrespectful, pretty classless, pretty tasteless. You're going to just like use Joey Moss, who's like an Edmonton hero, and he's a guy who's like a figurehead for a special needs community. You're going to use his passing like that? Come on. Have a little sense. Like, that's just so tasteless and classic for Skip the Dishes, because your shit is always fucked up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It made me want to use Uber Eats more. Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
I don't think he would do that with anybody's passing. Like, it seems so disrespectful to no matter who it is. Like, it's crazy. You don't use Wayne Gretzky when he passed away, or like, you know, the Rocket or whatever to sell, you know, fucking car lubrication. Careful. Or some shit. Like, I don't know. It's dumb. I don't get it. Yeah.
Like, Gretzky passes away, fuel, knock Maurice, on wood.
Maurice Richard's genuine rocket fuel from the Rocket himself.
Gretzky passes away, and it's like, I don't know very many more people that loved wine and whiskey near as much as Wayne Gretzky did. Like, here's our wine and whiskey. Oh. Use the code RIP Wayne for an additional 10% off at checkout. Like, what? Oh, the yeah, fuck,
that's what we
that?
Said before the show, right? Like, rip Joey for 15% off your Skip order. Like, just horrible, dude. Like,
I know.
Skip the Dishes wouldn't give 15%, yeah. Kyle. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, it'd be 5 at best. I actually find the deals, sorry, random transition here. I find the deals way better in Quebec. There's like all the time they have have like 30% off if order over like $50. My whatever. Uber, but that's Uber Eats app,
I get notified all the time that I have 30% off offers and stuff, like 5 times a month at least. Like,
is that Uber Eats or Skip?
Uber Eats. I don't know if they have Skip out here, but yeah,
they do have Skip. But I use both.
We shouldn't be promoting Skip the Dishes after we're saying what a trashy segment it was.
We're talking down about them, man. Skip the Dishes has like a new point program, and if you spend like $20, you get like 3 points or something, and like 1 point is like 10 cents or some shit. I don't know. It's like completely stupid. Like once every like 3 months, you'll save like $2.50 on it.
So what you're saying,
thanks, Skip.
With the thousands of dollars that I spent on Skip the Dishes in 2020, that was the one expense that went way up. By the way, I don't know if anybody else is in that boat, but you're saying with that thousands of dollars I spent, I probably could have got like a $30 coupon or something from Skip. That seems like a great deal.
maybe 30. I don't even know if it's that much.
Maybe only 20. We could have got some marble slab there, Dovco. Oh, anyways. I think we're all fucking stoked for this game, hoping for a big bounce back. Oilers against Montreal Canadiens. I've got my jersey on, my Draisaitl jersey that I only wore when they won the second game. Kyle's got his jersey on. Dobko's just looking like an absolute stud over there, but no Oilers gear whatsoever. So we'll see how that goes. But a little bit superstitious, and we'll see what happens. But hoping for a big win. Probably should have addressed this at the start, but a little bit of scheduling conflict yesterday, so our episode's just under a day late, but we will be back every Monday moving forward like we normally are. Have a great week, everybody, and let's go Oilers.